Hello and welcome to the Wisconsin Parkinson Association's podcast. I'm Jeremy Oddy, Director of Outreach and Education for the Wisconsin Parkinson Association. Our goal at the WPA is to provide hope, community, support, and resources for people with Parkinson's and their loved ones. With this podcast, we want to provide you with information on the Wisconsin Parkinson Association, as well as share information on Parkinson's disease itself and the people impacted by Parkinson's in our community. Today, we're going to talk to Patrick Pelkey and hear his story and journey with Parkinson's disease. Welcome, Patrick.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. I'm going to start with just a real quick question. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 65 years old, from New London, Wisconsin. I've had Parkinson's now for just over 16 years. I run two Parkinson's support groups. I'm the facilitator. I run one in Neenah, Wisconsin, and one also in Waupaca, Wisconsin.
Excellent. So you said you were diagnosed 16 years ago. That would make you young onset.
I was diagnosed right before my 50th birthday.
All right. Please tell us about how that happened.
My wife actually made an appointment for me with my family doctor without even my knowledge, because she noticed and I noticed I had some tremor in my left hand, and she wanted to know what was going on. So set up an appointment with my family doctor, and after going in and seeing him, he said, "I think you have Parkinson's," but he says, to make sure, he says, "I want to send you to a neurologist." So he set up an appointment with one down in Neenah, Wisconsin, and I went in to see him, and he did all the normal testing stuff that they do for coming in to see, you know, if you have Parkinson's, and he came up with the same conclusion and said, "Yes, I think you have Parkinson's." And then they started me on carbidopa levodopa right away to see if that would help. And sure enough, that did. So that kind of sets a tone saying, yes, you have Parkinson's.
Absolutely.
My first, when they first told me, I left the place. My wife was at work. I went to the appointment alone that day. And I went out in my car, and I called her up, and I just sat there and cried. Because I thought, you're not supposed to have Parkinson's at 49 years old. But you do, and you deal with it.
So at 49, that's a big change in your life, a big surprise. You just shared, you know, you went in the car and cried. I know you have a family. You have a son and daughter. How did the family respond?
I don't know if they didn't believe it, but I think they did. It was just kind of a shock to them also. Everybody else in the family too, when I told them, it's like, well, how do you get it? Where did you get it? We had no idea about this. I had not hardly any knowledge about Parkinson's at that time. So yeah, I tried to find out as much as I could. So.
And how did you try to find out as much as you could? Where did you go? What resources did you search out?
Went on the internet, and one of the first things I found out was support groups. And the first one that came up was in Green Bay, and that's the first one I went to. And then I found out later that there was one in Appleton, Wisconsin, and that was the one that I started going to then on a regular basis. And my wife and I both went to that. I think I probably went to that for 5 or 6 years anyway. And the lady that was the facilitator, her husband had Parkinson's, and he had passed on. And she had done it for numerous years, and she wanted, I think she kind of got burned out, and she asked me if I would take over, and I said, I'll try it, and I took over being a facilitator, and I've been doing that ever since for that group. I did move it from Appleton to Neenah, and when we were in Appleton, we had probably 8 members in the group, and now I have 82 in Neenah. So.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like, I mean, you've been very engaged with support groups from the get-go. You, like you said, you were diagnosed, you went for 6 years, you've been a facilitator for 10 years. Obviously, you saw benefit in that for yourself, but what would you tell somebody who's looking to attend a support group? What are the benefits, what are the values, and why do you see them beneficial for your journey?
I just had a support group last week in Neenah, and a lot of the people said they didn't realize there was that many people that had the same problem as them. And they were really interested in learning from the other people what they've been going through. So it does help to talk to other people that have something, you know, the same thing that you do.
You were just sharing with me earlier before we joined online that you had a recent support group where you actually separated into people with Parkinson's and caregivers of people with Parkinson's disease. Can you share a little bit about the feedback you had on that and why you did it that way versus other meetings?
I tried doing it that way to get the people there more involved, because a lot of times if you get a group more elderly, 70s and 80s and stuff, they like to sit back and listen to either a speaker or the facilitator talk. Well, it's kind of hard for one person to talk for 2 hours and to keep them, you know, interested. So we split the people up. We put the caregivers on one end of the room and the people with Parkinson's on the other. And we started asking, you know, questions. And those questions got the people talking, and everybody got involved then. And we probably went for over an hour with everybody like that. And then we got back together and shared what we had just talked about. And everybody really liked it. And I think it was the best meeting I ever had for that group.
That's saying something if you've been doing it 10 years.
Yeah.
So, excellent. Now, you go to support groups. You run a couple support groups. What else do you do to stay active right now?
I help volunteer with the Wisconsin Parkinson's Association whenever I can. I also do my wood carving. I make what they call comfort birds, and I donate them to try and help raise money for Parkinson's.
And we've been fortunate. You've donated the comfort birds to our golf outing in the past. You told me that there's an organization in Oklahoma this weekend that'll be auctioning those off. You want to share a little bit about that?
I made 5 of them, and I just sent them out this week. They're going to be having Pennies for Pearls, it's called, at the Hard Rock Casino in Oklahoma, and they're going to raise money for their chapter of the American Parkinson's Association there. So I hope they do really well down there.
So for people listening who have Parkinson's disease, you just said you're a wood carver. How did you get engaged in the wood carving? Was this something you did before diagnosis, after diagnosis, and what does it mean to you now?
It was after I was diagnosed and I was going to the support group in Appleton. There was a gentleman there with Parkinson's that had a really bad tremor, and he said, if you want to stop shaking for a little while, he said, you should try carving. Well, my wife and I were both there, and first thing she thought of, why do I want sharp tools in the guy's hands that's shaking? And the guy said, no, he said, give it a try. So I went down there, tried it, and sure enough, it just does something like it relaxes you. You're doing something that you really enjoy. And I guess that's what creates more dopamine in your brain and slows down your tremor.
Excellent. And now, you're being a little bashful. I've seen your wood carvings. I know you've been featured in magazines, and you do carving shows across the U.S., can you share a little bit about what that impact has been? Because you've shared with me a number of times you've done carvings in Minnesota and elsewhere, and you've met people with Parkinson's disease who come up and approach you and have questions. So can you share a little bit about how that goes?
Yeah, after I went to a seminar up in Minnesota, I was sitting there, and I didn't take my meds on time. So I was shaking a little more than I normally do, and my instructor noticed it. And she says, what's going on? And I said, well, I have Parkinson's. And she says, well, do you need to do anything? And I said, well, I should go take my meds. So I went and took them. Everything was better after a little while. And she asked me about how I can carve with the Parkinson's. And I started explaining it to her. She went and happened to be the editor of a carving magazine. It's called Carving. And before I know it, he pulled me to the side, went and had me talk to their writer. And next thing I know, they're writing an article about me, how the carving helps my Parkinson's. And once that came out, I started getting phone calls, emails, texts from people all over the world. I just couldn't believe that many people were reaching out, and people are still doing it yet today.
Excellent. And I know you've shared with me you've had a number of people who had carved, were diagnosed, stopped carving, saw your article, and have gotten back into carving. What does that mean to you to be the person they're looking up to?
A lot of people, when they get diagnosed, right away they think it's a death sentence. They just stop doing everything. That's not what you should be doing. You should be trying to do more instead of trying to do less.
Excellent. Now, you've shared with us your carvings. You've done them at events for us. You've done... I know you also were just sharing with us, you've done things around local schools showing kids that, hey, just because I have Parkinson's disease, I can still do this. What's the impact of those type of presentations, and what do you hear from the communities when you do that?
I did it for a public school in my hometown, New London, and months later, I was out walking my dog, and here comes a couple with a young child walking towards us, and all of a sudden, they're talking, and they get closer, and the little kid goes, there's the carving man. And so then they have to ask me, what is this about? You know, and I said, well, I gave a presentation at his school about carving, you know, with Parkinson's stuff. Oh, that was neat, they said. So it's neat that this little kid, maybe 6, 7 years old, remembered me. So
that's great. And it's great community outreach. It's great awareness on Parkinson's disease. One of the other things you and I have talked about, you don't have outward noticeable symptoms a lot of times. You do have a bit of a resting tremor on occasion, but a lot of your symptoms are the rigidity, no arm swing. And you said that can be frustrating because people will look at you and say, well, what do you mean you have Parkinson's disease? You don't shake. How do you handle that, and what would you tell people who have a similar circumstance as you do?
You try and educate them, saying that everybody doesn't look the same. Like, everybody doesn't look like Michael J. Fox, where you're moving all the time. That's how everybody sees that, and they think everybody has to be like that. Once you go to a support group meeting, you'll see all these people. And I had 27 people in my group last Thursday. If I would have brought somebody off the street and they would have looked at everybody in that group, you'd have a hard time telling who has Parkinson's and who doesn't.
Absolutely. So, and you and I have talked, you notice your tremor gets worse in certain circumstances. When is that?
Stress makes it 100% worse. Stress is your worst enemy when you have Parkinson's. So if you can stay away from the stress, you will be much better.
Well, in addition to wood carving, how do you stay away from stress? How do you manage and deal with stress?
Besides the wood carving, I take care of my grandkids a lot. My daughter and son-in-law live only a mile from us, and they have 3 boys. I watch them a lot. If I get a chance, my son and my daughter-in-law live out in Colorado, and I have a granddaughter and a grandson out there, and I'll go out there and watch them. And yeah, that's relaxing, watching grandkids. So
I think the 5 grandkids are very fortunate to have a grandfather like you in their life to spend time with them.
Thank you.
Yes. What else would you like to share, Patrick? I mean, you said you run 2 support groups. You want to discuss both groups, where they are, where they meet.
When I first took over the group in Appleton, as soon as I took it over, they wanted us to pay to use the room, and I thought, that's not how it should be. So I talked to my neurologist, and they just built a brand new clinic in Neenah, the neuroscience group, and I talked to him, and he says, we have a nice conference room, you can use that, and we've been there ever since. They don't charge us a penny for the thing, for the place, and it's a great location. We get a lot of people there. As far as the one in Waupaca, ThetaCare, it's right next door to the hospital. They also provide us a place, no charge. So that's really nice that, you know, we get to use those places for no charge.
Excellent. So you said you have a group in Waupaca and a group in Neenah. You can obviously, listeners, you can go to our website and find out where those groups are, when they meet, and how to be engaged. Our website is wiparkinson.org. You can meet Patrick, meet a number of the other people in the group. Now, Patrick, in addition to the 2 groups you run, I know there's also an early onset Parkinson's group in Appleton that you attend on a regular basis, monthly. You want to share a little bit about what that is and what it means, what you see different between the early onset group and maybe some of the groups that have later onset Parkinson's disease?
My group in Neenah and Waupaca are more of the elderly, the 60 to 80 range. The group, the young onset, we might have 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe even a couple 70s. And they run that group totally different. Instead of everybody sitting at tables, we bring the people in. Everybody sits in a chair. We might make a circle. And if we get somebody new, the first thing they do is have them introduce themselves, and from there they start telling how long they've had Parkinson's and a little more about themselves, and then everybody in the circle just goes around. It gets everybody involved in the group, and I hate to say it, but I tell people I like that group better than my own two, because that's why I did it last week, where you can get the separate the two groups, the caregivers and the people with Parkinson's, and get them more involved. So I'd like to try that on more occasions.
And you and I have talked to many times, there's a number of different ways to run a support group. You can have speakers, you can have discussion, so varying it for your group is great. The question I would ask you, you've had Parkinson's 16 years. What have you seen the differences in your life from when you were diagnosed at 49 to now being a grandfather at 65? What are the different challenges you have that I think were probably different for the early onset group compared to the later onset group of Parkinson's disease?
One of the best things I've learned right now is they're talking about exercise. Exercise, the more you exercise, the more you're going to, you know, the better off you'll be. There have been support groups that now they have exercise groups they can go to. They have one at the neuroscience group. I think they have a different physical therapist work with them each time they come in. So they have Rock Steady Boxing in Oshkosh and Green Bay now, where people can access those. The more you exercise, the better off you are. It's worth it to do the exercise, I would say, versus having surgery right now.
Well, and I mean, the research shows 30 minutes of exercise three times a week, strenuous exercise, is very beneficial to Parkinson's and can hopefully slow the progression. And I would tell people outside of the Fox Valley, where Patrick is based, you can go to our website and learn about Rock Steady Boxing, Parkinson's Dance, and other things throughout the state that you can be engaged in. But the more you do, the better. And I've always said a lot of exercise groups are basically support groups that are active. You talk about Parkinson's, you support one another. You were sharing with us earlier a really good story about one of your support groups. You had a member who you saw some progression in, and she made some decisions based on a speaker you brought in. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, she seemed to be progressing very fast. I knew her from our Applin group, and at that time she was still walking, and then she progressed to where she was using a cane and then a walker, and then she was in a wheelchair. And she did not want to have deep brain stimulation. She was dead set against it. And she found out about the Duopa pump. And I didn't know that she had done it. And I went to the pharmacy to pick up some medicine one day, and I saw her and her husband walking out. And it just floored me that this was the same person, because now with this pump, she's back to almost normal, where she's not using any aids and stuff. She's walking, she's even driving, I was told. So, yeah, it was a lifesaver for her.
Excellent. And you and I have talked, when we do a support group, we're not endorsing any product. We're not discouraging
Correct.
Any product. Just using this as an example of somebody who she saw a speaker, got learned more information about it, talked to her doctor, and it's made a big change for her. And I think that's excellent. And I think that's a great thing within a support group, that you can provide that and see that within other members and have those discussions and make decisions based on what fits your lifestyle.
Correct. If I bring a speaker in, it's not that we're trying to push that on the people. We just want people to learn more of what's out there that can help them, and they can take it, you know, for what it's worth by listening to the speaker. And next month I'm bringing in someone from the ADRC, the Aging Disability Resource Center. They have them all over Wisconsin, a great source of information. I would recommend them highly to everybody.
Absolutely. Anything you want us to know, Patrick, that we have not asked you yet? I think you've covered a lot, but anything else you want to share, story you've had, experience that you'd like to share with the audience?
Not really.
All right. I didn't think it was possible, but I've left Patrick speechless. I want to thank Patrick Pelkey. I think you've done a great job sharing your journey. I think you've shared how it's impacted your friends, your family, yourself, and then the importance of the support groups and how that helped you when you were first diagnosed and how you continue to pay that forward. I hope your story provides understanding and inspiration to people listening. I think the fact that you picked up wood carving after your diagnosis and have continued to grow that and have shown to be an inspiration to other people, I think, is excellent. So thank you very much, Patrick, for joining us.
You're welcome.
So for you, the listening audience, if you're listening to this when it was posted, it is April, which is Parkinson's Awareness Month. Please take time to attend a support group, an exercise class, or an educational program. Additionally, if you're able to do so, you can do your part to raise Parkinson's awareness. Share your story with us via our Facebook page or what it is you are doing locally to raise awareness regarding Parkinson's disease. Finally, we encourage you to take time to share your story with three new people this month. You might be surprised by the number of people impacted by Parkinson's disease beyond your current circle of contacts. Just like Patrick sharing it at the wood carving show and found out there was a lot of people in that audience who were impacted by the disease and had a lot of questions. Finally, you can go to our website at wiparkinson.org to learn about our programs and services coming up, including a Parkinson's program in the Wausau area in May and our annual Parkinson's Disease Symposium in July. You can also call our office to learn more at 414-312-6990. Again, that's 414-312-6990. And then, thank you again, Patrick, for being our guest today. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to talking to everybody again in a couple weeks.